This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:36. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Sharmila and Lynn. And now moving on to Today on Twitter, where Tan Sri is trending because of a sort of conclusion to the case involving an Indonesian domestic worker who hadn't been paid by her Tan Sri employer for 12 years.
Right. So she'd initially intended to sue, right, for these 12 years of unpaid wages. And she's now received a payment of more than 100,000 ringgit. Her employer, as we keep saying, and as, you know, as is the reason why it's trending, is said to be a Tan Sri in his 70s. And the kinds of things she describes, she said she had tolerated 12 years of constant berating, no personal time. She was even slapped when she misplaced some medication. So she fled from her employer and sought refuge at the Indonesian embassy. And subsequent to that, there was a long mediation between the embassy and her employer, and she has now been paid, as we mentioned, more than 100,000 ringgit. So that number is significant because, well, there are questions about how it was arrived at. For what it's worth, a source at the embassy did say that that number was arrived at by totaling her monthly fixed salary for just under 12 years based on the official minimum wage rate for each year and deducting expenses. Now, before we go to the reactions and the larger conversation, I do think it's worth looking at what she said about all of this.
So, yes, I mean, the one silver lining in all of this, beyond the fact that she finally got her due, was reading her reactions. And she said, "I'm overjoyed to finally be able to go home. I'm grateful to my embassy for helping me claim my outstanding wages from my employer." She said she plans to complete the reconstruction of her family home, to start a roadside restaurant, and to employ workers to farm vegetables on her parents' plot of land. She also said, "When I hire workers, I will treat them fairly with days off and decent working hours." And that really got to me. Hearing her say that.
Yeah. So the reason why we said sort of at the start is because, I mean, it might be resolved in terms of the financial aspect, right? But there are other things at play here because there has been no indication as to whether or not the employer will be charged over the alleged forced labor offense. An embassy source did explain that if they filed an anti-trafficking in persons report with the police, there would have been no guarantee that she would be able to receive her unpaid wages or return home anytime soon. So that's one element here. I think the other part of it has also been just the fact of the Tan Sri still being referred to as a Tan Sri.
Yes. So largely the reactions on Twitter now, I mean, alongside a sense of justice somewhat being done and, you know, her being given her wages, the indignation and the anger really surrounds the fact that many seem to think that he'd gotten off too lightly. The other being that he hadn't been named. And that's something that a lot of people are talking about. So Charles Santiago, Klang MP, for instance, tweeted 101,776 ringgit over a period of 12 years works out to 706 ringgit a month, way below the minimum wage. On top of that, she was slapped and made to work 18 hours a day without an off day. This is forced labor. Why isn't the employer charged? If we can post photos of a 15-year-old who was raped and subsequently stabbed her baby, why can't we name this Tan Sri? Why is he being protected? Will he face the law or go scot-free because he's rich and powerful? Shouldn't the legal system work for the poor?
Similarly, we have Luna, who's saying 100k is too low, even comparatively to the current wages of domestic workers. What kind of mediation is this? What about the constant abuse and mental trauma? No retribution to Tan Sri? So, yeah, definitely, I think a sense of anger coming through. And it is true, right? And I'm glad in some ways, actually, that we are not taking the amount at face value, because when you look at the amount total, if you didn't know what she had gone through, or you didn't know how long she had actually served the family, you look at it and it's like, oh, 100,000. Okay, you know, that there's a lot that a person can do with that. But then if you look at what exactly that payment is actually for, and also the fact that, I suppose, when it comes down to trying to do the math, one of the things that is hard for us to account for, because we simply don't know, is the quote-unquote expenses incurred by the employer and what exactly that means, because that was also deducted from the final amount.
And also the question of, as one of the tweets pointed out, how do you put a number on mental trauma? How do you put a number on being treated badly and being put down so badly, right? And I think that's really something that keeps coming up every time we hear of these cases of domestic workers being abused or being treated badly, or you know, workers in any sector, really. But in this case, I think it feels even more acute because it's being done in a home and it's being done by one employer to one employee. And again, this question of how could people behave this way? How can someone treat another person this way? And I think that becomes increasingly a difficult question to answer when we see these kinds of scenarios. And then perhaps we see that the action taken after often feels basically not enough.
There is that prevailing sense of not enough, right? I do also think that the other element that is perhaps not known to us is what exactly she wanted. Because there is every possibility that after being here and, you know, undergoing the treatment that she did over the course of 12 years, that she may simply want to get out of Dodge. You know, there may be no reason for her to want to stay here any longer than she absolutely has to. And so, you know, in talking about this, I think above and beyond what she was paid and what she might have wanted, I think the other question or what's coming through here is justice beyond mediation between two parties. I think that's what it is, right? A more general sense of whether or not a wrong has been righted, and not necessarily just what it is that you could get out of the situation to the best of your ability, which is more what this sounds like, at least according to the source that various news outlets are reporting on.
We're talking about, a case involving an employer, a Tan Sri, who had withheld wages and essentially mistreated his domestic worker for 12 years. The fact that she's finally received her back pay and is going back home. So we'd like to hear from you. What needs to happen to ensure these situations don't keep happening? You can call 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We'll be back after this for your messages. So keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Beating fickle mindsets, BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, that was the Beatles with Can't Buy Me Love. It is 5:50. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Sharmila and Lynn. And we've been talking about a number of different things. So earlier on today on Twitter, we were looking at the fact that Tan Sri is trending following the outcome of a mediation between an unnamed Tan Sri and a domestic worker who finally received 12 years worth of pay and has headed home to Indonesia. And so we've been asking you for your thoughts. What needs to happen to ensure these situations don't keep happening? So you can weigh in 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. And earlier we were also discussing an anti-corruption oath by Perikatan Nasional and whether as a voter these sorts of things have meaning to you. Do weigh in on that as well. Let's look at, let's start with this one from Steve on the Tan Sri situation.
So Steve says, why isn't the Tan Sri's identity revealed? Why is he protected? What he did is a disgrace and inhumane. It's not right that he calls himself a Malaysian. It's really a shame to all of us Malaysians, basically.
I think this is something that really most people have been saying. And the thing is, what upsets me is we say this a lot and it happens often, but there doesn't seem to be nearly enough reason for people to stop behaving this way.
And I mean, part of it is the system, I think. You know, part of it is that the system of having somebody in your house serving you that you have a lot of control over. We've spoken about this, right? Both in the context of domestic help, as well as, in fact, a lot of foreign labor. There is far too much power that is handed over to the employer. And frankly, power not just in the financial sense, but in the freedom of movement sense, in the freedom of communication sense. Can people have their phones? Can people have their documentation? You know, all these different things. And I think, in all honesty, there's something about that system that encourages or that creates, I think, an environment for this sort of behavior.
And which is why most often when we hear about activists talking about these issues, it often goes back to that, about just really the things that a regular human being should be given as a right, the ability to communicate, the ability to have time off, access to redress if they need to seek it, all of which actually the system is really opaque about.
So I want to be clear, I'm not saying that everyone who has domestic help is participating in an awful system or is themselves an awful person, because I don't think that that is the case at all. As we have said many times on the show, there's many, many reasons why people need domestic help and how necessary it is, right? Going back to that issue of the MOU. But I think the issue here is that the system at its worst allows people to be at their worst. And that is the problem.
Steve is back, and Steve just says, with great power comes great responsibility.
Yeah, and that is true. However, I think in this case, it's also who watches the Watchmen, if we're just going to be throwing out comic book references, because I think in this particular instance, the question of whether there is sufficient oversight, and for that matter, whether the ongoing MOU and the conversations that are happening between our country and other countries like Indonesia, but also previously like Bangladesh, whether or not that's going to be enough to ensure that there is enough oversight, there is enough transparency.
Keep those thoughts coming. That number to call, 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Keep it here on The Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.